Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, our weekly look inside University of Virginia athletics. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today at the McHugh Center is Connor Jones, third-year pitcher on the UVA baseball team. Connor, good to see you again.
Thanks
for stopping by.
Yeah, for sure.
You're 8-1 this season with a 2.08 ERA. The numbers would suggest that this is the best you've pitched at UVA. How have you improved over the course of your three seasons here?
Wow. I always tell people, looking back to freshman year, I was pretty much a high schooler that was still here. You know, you work all fall, but in a lot of ways I was still a high schooler with no college experience. So a lot of that, I think, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of experience going into the year. I wouldn't say all of it was luck, but, you know, once I hit a hard outing or two out of the bullpen, it was hard to recover from. I think that's the first thing, you know, moving forward into sophomore year from freshman year with the ups and downs, you know, being able to come back from a rough start and have your composure and just the added experience and that you have. And then, you know, my main goal I told everyone from last year moving into this year was to have better fastball command and, you know, make myself more efficient in that way. And I think that's I've addressed that pretty well and still looking for some of the off-speed stuff to come like it was last year, but I think that's coming around here pretty soon.
And one of the footnotes of your career, and I think we talked about it last year, is that at the end of your first year, you pitched in the regional, I think, maybe the first game, and then didn't appear in postseason after that.
Yeah.
So you talked about kind of hitting that proverbial freshman wall, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mentally as much as physically, I think.
I think much more, you know, mentally than physically. And that outing in the regional wasn't very good from what I remember. So, yeah, I think I threw a lot the first two-thirds of the year and then not a whole lot after that. And it was tough for me, but I think, you know, not being able to help the team, I was disappointed myself. But being able to go off to summer ball and kind of overcome some of that and come back in the fall and have a really good fall moving into sophomore year, I think, was huge for me. It's just maturing and growing up and figuring myself out as a pitcher, really.
After winning the College World Series last year, Virginia has been on something of a roller coaster ride this season. You lost three exceptional pitchers after last season, and the many freshmen on this year's team have had to adjust to the college game. But once again, the team appears to be starting to peak at the right time. What's been the difference over the past 2 weeks, the series with North Carolina and Miami, and what do you see as the potential of this team?
You know, I think, you know, we changed up some roles there in the, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, moving Tommy Doyle to closer and Alec Bettinger to Sunday, and then Charlie Cody finally got healthy. And so I think those have been a lot of real big additions for us. And I think, you know, Alec and Tommy getting comfortable in the new roles and Charlie coming back, and he's been hitting great for us. I mean, I think back and almost every one of his outs have been productive, you know, even ground balls bringing guys in, RBIs. And so I think those have been three huge things for us. But I think everyone's just getting more comfortable and, you know, realizing that, you know, if as a rookie hitter, if you strike out twice in a game, like, your season's not over. Like, you know,
right,
you're coming out, you got to play the next day, and you got to be ready to compete and go again. So, you know, I think the guys getting more comfortable in their roles, you know, Alec Bettinger, he's obviously started before, but getting his pitch count up and stuff like that and just kind of settling back into starter's role. And I think Tommy's looked fantastic in the closer role so far, you know, as opposed to starting for him. I think
right,
he looks much more comfortable. And so I think those have been really big for us.
You're from Chesapeake. The team played in Norfolk on Tuesday. Is it, you don't pitch in those midweek games. Is there a part of you when you go back to your home area like that wishes you'd get a chance to pitch in front of family and friends?
A little bit. You know, it's tough because the games you pitch, you don't really get to take in any of the environment or the atmosphere. You know, like, you almost miss out on it. So on Fridays, I feel like I miss out on almost everything. I miss out on the game. You only see half of it, the half you pitch, and because you're so locked in and focused. But on those other days, you can not necessarily hang out, but you can kind of enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy. So part of me wants to always pitch back home. The other part of me likes to be able to, you know, see friends and family that are there. And where if you're pitching, you're so
right,
focused, you don't do that.
You've been the Friday starter for about a season and a half now. Is there added pressure in that role? And maybe you put it on yourself to get the team off to a good start in the series?
I wouldn't say added pressure, but it's definitely an aspect of, you know, being the Friday starter at Virginia. You know, you're expected to go deep into the games, whether you're up by five or down by five. You know, you got to try to eat up innings and preserve the bullpen to set the team up for success later in the weekend. So I've always prided myself on being able to be efficient and go deep into games, and it just so happens that's what the Friday starter is expected to do here, so it kind of matches up well. But it's obviously an expectation here. I wouldn't necessarily call it added pressure, right. But it's part of the role.
As most UVA baseball fans know, the team lost its longtime bus driver, Bernard Martin, in a tragic incident in Miami last weekend. I know how beloved Mr. Martin was by the many teams here that he drove for. Did you have much interaction with him over the years?
Yeah. You know, when we would, you know, as a pitcher, you throw on Friday or whenever it is, and Saturday morning, for me, I go lift. You lift the morning after you pitch, so I would go lift, and oftentimes it would just be him that would drive the team. We have no other method of transportation, so he would drive me to the gym.
On the team bus?
Yeah, on the team bus. So it would be the two of us, and you know, or when Nathan Kirby did it, he would ride with him on the bus. So oftentimes he would drive me to the gym and then sit there for 45 minutes or an hour and wait until we're done working out and then drive me back to the hotel, which, you know, you can't – you thank him enough for, you know, taking the time to do something like that. But, yeah, it was a really tragic incident, and, you know, obviously prayers are with, you know, Bernard and his family, and it was, you know, a pretty just a tragic and scary incident, really.
In a span of 2 years, you've gone from being the new kid on the pitching staff to an elder statesman of sorts. With so much turnover on the staff after last year, have you made a conscious effort to be a leader on this team? I mean, do you need to be, given how young the pitching staff is overall?
I mean, I think so. I think first and foremost, I try and lead by example. You know, I think watching, for me, looking back on my experience, looking up at Brandon Waddell and Nathan Kirby, you know, they would talk to me and I would ask them questions all the time. But I think the best example that they set for me was what they did on the field and watching them throw on Friday and Saturday nights and just kind of seeing the expectation that, you know, the Friday or Saturday starters, the upperclassmen have to set for the rookies. So, you know, going out there leading by example, I think, is the best thing you can provide for them, no matter the wisdom or experience that you may have. I think going out there and showing them how things are done and how you're supposed to compete and attack hitters and stuff like that, I think that's, you know, the biggest thing that you can try. And hopefully the rookies are young enough and smart enough to realize that that's the example you're supposed to be looking at. So you try and, you know, help them in any way you can.
At the end of your senior year at Great Bridge High School, the Padres drafted you in the 21st round. I know you had signed with Virginia by that point. Were you ever tempted to turn pro?
Well,
maybe not at that point, but during your senior year?
It was a weird process, really. I think a lot of me didn't realize the position I was in. You know, I just went out there and I just tried to be the best. I'd never had considered, like, the draft or anything like that. I didn't think I was really good enough for the draft. I just went out there and tried to throw hard and do well and win games for the team, honestly. So, you know, I came out, I talked to my family, and I said that I was going to sign with Virginia regardless of the draft. I wasn't going to pursue the draft at all. And the Padres still drafted me in the 21st round, as you said. But I never really considered it. I just didn't think that it was a possibility for me, to be honest with you.
When the college season ends, a lot of players spend their summers playing in wooden bat leagues around the country. After your first year here, you played in the New England Collegiate Baseball League. Last year, after getting back from Omaha, you took the summer off, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the thinking there, and how did you put the summer to use?
Yeah, well, it was funny. I think after the ACC tournament or so, Coach O'Connor and Coach Kuhn sat me down and said, "You have a spot on the USA team. You know, that's
right,
a great honor.
That too.
That's a great honor, et cetera, et cetera. We think it'd be a great idea." And I was super excited about it. I'd never done anything like that before. So I was really excited about that. And then, what do you know, we kept winning and winning and winning, and the innings kept piling up and piling up. So, you know, one national championship later and 115 innings later, and all of a sudden we stepped back and said, you know, it's probably not the best idea, being that I just threw 30 more innings. So, you know, which would have been more than I would have thrown with USA anyway. So we decided to not do that. I, you know, sat back and thought to myself, as the areas I wanted to improve on moving into this year being fastball command and holding my velocity later into games and really getting more out of my lower half. So I went home and worked out a lot and focused on, you know, being more explosive and getting more out of my lower half, you know, trying to not only help my velocity but help sustain that throughout games. And I think that I've done a really good job of that this year so far.
Were you here for summer school at all last year?
No, I was not.
So you just went back home.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you work with there? Did you just work out on your own, or do you have a pitching coach or a coach you train with?
No, there was a coach I worked with back from my high school who's a track coach that I was doing some track workouts back home.
The team is at the halfway point of a stretch of 8 straight road games. Obviously, you're not away from Charlottesville for that entire period, but you do spend a fair amount of time on buses and in hotels. Mm-hmm. What's life on the road like for you? Do you enjoy it? Do you have the same roommate every trip, or does it change up?
Yeah, everyone has their little routine, I think, on the road as far as, you know, the coaches determine the roommates and stuff. But for the most part, it really doesn't change unless there's a guy who travels or doesn't travel from 1 week to another for injury or something. But, my bus or plane partner is Charlie Cody. We sit together. And then my roommate is Alec Bettinger. And, you know, we were roommates last year as well. So we're huge on card games. So, you know, between batting practice and the game, we go in the clubhouse, and a majority of us play cards. So there's that. There's little games people play on the bus. But other than that, it's just any way to, you know, try and pass the time. Fortunately, when we fly, it typically goes by quicker. But some of those bus rides can be long, like the one to Pittsburgh.
I talked to Alec the other day at Davenport and about his move to the weekend rotation. One of the things he mentioned that I hadn't really thought of is that when you're just pitching one time a week like that, if it doesn't go well, you have all week to think about it and dwell on it until you get a chance to do it again, where when you're coming out of the bullpen, if you have a bad appearance, there's a good chance you'll get a chance to redeem yourself pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Did that take some getting used to when you became a starter?
Well, I think the weird thing is most of us are starters in high school, so it's kind of similar to that. But
you pitch a little more often, don't you, in high school? Or is it?
For me, it was still once a week.
Once a week.
Yeah. But what I'd say to Alec is, you know, it's only bad if you choose to think about it during the week. So if I ever have a rough outing or something, I think about it for that night, and I'm pretty frustrated. And then, you know, maybe the next day. But after that, it's done, and you're moving forward to the next week. So it takes a little bit of adjustment, but I think that's a lot of just maturing and getting older and you know, handling it the right way.
Your bio in the media guide is filled with your high school pitching exploits. It does not mention anything about hitting. Were you a two-way player at all? Did you bat?
So my freshman and sophomore year, we had certain coaches, and they didn't allow pitchers to hit really at all. And then we had a huge coaching turnover. The whole staff left after we won states. And the JV coach became the head coach, Sean Townsend at Great Bridge. And he said, you're a big enough, strong enough kid, you need to hit. And I was like, I'm all for it. So when I wouldn't pitch, I'd play right field. And then I would hit, you know, either second or like fifth in the order. So I was an okay hitter. I wasn't great, but hitting really frustrated me. So I was, if I didn't hit well, I thought I could, you know, fix it and it wouldn't go right, it would be frustrating. Where pitching came a little bit more naturally. So
do you take BP here?
We have a thing for the pitchers where if we have a game with no walks or no runs allowed, we get pitchers batting practice, and that happens once or twice a year, even though we may earn it more often than that. Well, we had it in Omaha last year, and we did it, you know, maybe once before ACC tournament or something like that. So we'll have it once or twice a year. We'll coach Coon. We'll just go throw batting practice for 45 minutes straight, and we'll just see who can hit as many home runs as possible.
Your bio also mentions your swimming career, which I guess ended, what, after your sophomore year of high school?
After my sophomore year of high school, yeah.
Were you pretty serious about it when you were younger, and were there benefits from swimming that carried over onto the baseball diamond?
Yeah, so I swam competitively for most of my life, ever since I was probably 7 or 8. The main reason why I did it was my sister was really, really good, like nationally state-ranked good, and I kind of did it too. I didn't love it. I was pretty good at it. And as far as the pitching relation, some people think it's great for you, some people think it's terrible for you. A lot of why I did it was helped me stay in shape for basketball. And it's a great way to stay in shape, honestly. It's fantastic fitness. But I was pretty good at it. I would do the 50 free. I swam in regionals my sophomore year. And I just took pride in. I swam year-round for about 6 months there when I was probably 15 or 16. But other than that, I just swam summer leagues and whatnot. So I just took pride in trying to beat all the kids that swam year-round. I'm good friends with John Denning here, who swims for UVA. He went to my high school. And we gave it a go once or twice. But, yeah, after sophomore year, I really didn't enjoy it that much, and Coach Coon wasn't huge on it, so that was the end of my swimming career. I wasn't necessarily
Yeah, when did
totally
you commit?
Did
you commit your, into
after
your
my sophomore year?
Year
of high school? Yeah.
You are projected to be selected early in the next major league draft, which is in June. Do you try to push thoughts of the draft away until after this season ends, or have you ever gotten any advice from, you know, guys who preceded you in the program here about how they handled it their draft eligible year?
You know, not really how they handled it. Brandon Waddell and I still stay in touch.
You saw three guys last year go through it.
Yeah,
three
exactly. And the guys before that, you know, right. Nick Howard and all them. So the example's been set here. But, you know, I stay in touch with Brandon Waddell pretty frequently. But for me, I'm just so focused on now. I'm so competitive that, you know, if last outing, there's always something to improve on from the outing before that, you know, I'm so focused on that and trying to improve that for the next outing that seems so far away now. That, you know, I'm just so focused on the next start and trying to improve in whatever thing that I can, because it bothers me when there's something I know I can improve on.
If you were to end up leaving early, how much progress have you made toward your bachelor's degree? You're an American Studies major, right?
Yes, sir.
And have you talked to guys come back here regularly, it seems, in the mm-hmm. winter to finish up, guys who leave early?
Yeah. I'm right on track with as far as getting the degree. So I came here for summer school in freshman year, and that helped, and I've taken the full course load ever since I've been here. So I talked to my school, my major advisor for American Studies, and I'm actually much farther along than I thought I had for the major. So that was definitely a positive. So I think I'm set up pretty nicely.
I know baseball is your main focus this time of year, but do you have time to DJ, or is that strictly an out-of-season pursuit, or are you doing that anymore at all?
I wouldn't say it's strictly an out-of-season thing, but I really haven't had a whole lot of time. You know, even the weekends I've been asked to, almost all of them were out of town. And the other ones than that, typically I have – my family's come to every home and away series this year, and that's what they're doing. So typically there's so much family here that I just spend time with them, and there's really no need to force it in when, you know, when the family's here and the schedule's pretty much full anyway. So I can't even tell you the last time I did. It's been a little while.
How'd you get into that?
I'm a huge music fan of all types. I listen to all kinds of music, and I'd rather listen to music than watch TV or things like that. So I got into the dance music thing and kind of looked at, you know, I went to a concert where there was a DJ one time and I was fascinated. I looked it up, kind of figured out how to do it on YouTube, kind of taught myself, and then some friends here kind of that I became friends with kind of took me under their wing and kind of, you know, helped me along.
There's not a ton of variety in the playlist at Davenport Field. Have you ever talked to anybody about letting you produce one for a little change of pace?
Not the team had me throw one together last year, but that didn't last a whole very long. But I've talked to the people, I guess, that are in charge of that. I know some people that do it, and I've been a huge I've been pushing the different music there for a little while. So I think we've got a little bit of new stuff this year. So I think some of us were happy for that.
Good. Well, Connor, I know you got to get ready for practice. The Hoos hit the road tomorrow for Pittsburgh, where they'll play a three-game series on Saturday and Sunday. Good luck against Pitt. We'll see you at Davenport Field after the exam break.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is the rare weekend during the school year when there are no UVA sporting events scheduled in Charlottesville, and with finals about to start next weekend, we'll be quiet around here too. Exams end May the 13th, and the baseball team opens a three-game series with Georgia Tech at Davenport Field that evening. In the meantime, remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and information on all 25 of our teams. I'll be back soon with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.